in the chat room by clicking on the chat room button on my website, Spingola.com, or by going to Spingola.chatango.com. We will take calls in the second hour after we open the phone lines at 800-313-9443. Remember that the March Against Monsanto is taking place in numerous locations on May 25th. Obama signed the Monsanto Protection Act on March 26, 2013, giving executive powers to the USDA, which grants permission to companies like Monsanto to sell its genetically modified seed to farmers without any judicial accountability. This provision removes the judicial system from the picture, allowing Monsanto to dominate agriculture, selling genetically altered seed to farmers and damaging human genes, all without any real justice. And I just noticed that Leo, my big 20-pound kitty, is sitting on top of the filing cabinet. So I didn't know he was in here. We will dismiss him during the break. Meanwhile, my guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. That website is wvfoundations.org. Welcome to the program, Rodney.
Good morning, Deanna. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome.
My
cat's a little troublemaker when he's in the office. He likes to sit on the keyboard and do all kinds of naughty things, knock things over. I didn't know he was in here, but
your cat and my occasional barking dog, I tell you what. But I got the dog locked up someplace away. So anyway, we'll see if your cat does a little typing while we're on the show. But I'm looking forward to our topic. This morning, because I think it's going to be very enlightening and rather entertaining. In the chat room before the show, I was telling some of the guests that, you know, there are several books that I'd like to burn today. But before we begin, before the break, I'd like to give the guest a little teaser on something and read a passage from a military memorandum, and then I'll reveal its origin. I'm going to be releasing some of these memorandums and posting them on our website, because I had requested these a while back from the archives and they finally showed up. But let me read just two sentences, Deanna. The connection between the Jews and the Bolshevik in Vilnia, this is Poland, seems to be proven without a shadow of doubt. When the Bolsheviks entered the city, they were taken to the houses of the wealthy by the Jews, and apparently had this matter had been arranged beforehand. Then it goes on later in the memorandum. This is a memorandum back and forth between two military officers. I am so thoroughly convinced of the reality of a Jewish movement to dominate the world that I hate to leave a stone unturned. Now, if I were to just read that to anybody, they would obviously immediately jump and say, oh, that's a Nazi memorandum. Deanna, that is a memorandum between two United States Army intelligence officers at the during the period in the 1920s, prior to the Third Reich period. And what I'm going to be posting is memorandums that prove that the United States Army and the United States Army intelligence specifically knew that what the Third Reich was dealing with was completely accurate, and they were agreeing. And I actually have more passages and memorandums that were saying that the Germans were absolutely correct and that the early policies of the Third Reich were very moderate because they knew of the power of international Jewry. And there are passages in United States Army intelligence where they were saying that the Third Reich's policy of encouraging immigration of the Jews failed because a lot of Jews refused to leave for two reasons. One, there's a direct quotation from a U.S. Army intelligence officer, and you're saying that, one, the Jews were clinging on to their property, refusing to release their property, and two, because of the worldwide Jewish war that had been declared on Germany, the Jews were pressuring the Western Allies to crush the Third Reich militarily as early as 1933.
Wow. All righty. That is very interesting. We will be right back in 3 minutes after a word from our sponsors and after I dismiss Leo. Be right back.
The free and independent states of America were born July 4, 1776. The 56 delegates signed the Declaration of Independence. Congress ordered it engrossed, sent to the several assemblies, conventions, committees, councils of safety, and several commanding officers of the Continental Army. After the war, several nations traded with the free United States of America. Any agency, officer, or employee acting as if the declaration were void or obsolete is without the right and the consent. They place themselves as an equal to the Creator and are warring with Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution and with the people. Our grand jury has been destroyed without the consent or the right. Return the grand jury customarily impaneled by the elected county sheriff and one where people can appear with information. McGilvery Machine Company, Reading, Michigan.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and in some instances your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
We are back. This is Deanna, and I just got Leo out the door of the office just in time to come back to the program. I had to bribe him out.
Is he mad?
He was way up on the top of the bookshelf, and he jumps on the desk, and he jumps on the filing cabinet, then up on top of the bookcase. So I had to, you know, help him down because he couldn't just jump off the top of the book. Well, he could, but he didn't want to, so...
You know,
okay,
Deanna,
here we are,
Deanna,
without Leo.
I know we're getting these Army declassified documents indeed proved that the United States Army, at least, Army intelligence, knew what was happening and were aware of the Jewish conspiracy and knew that the Germans were correct. And there are some heroes. There are unsung heroes in U.S. Army history. And I say, I'm going to be posting these. General George Strong, who was chief of military intelligence, was completely anti-Jewish and was even opposed to the Jews being given Palestine, vehemently opposed, and wrote memorandums to that such and predicted what would happen in Palestine, what we're seeing today. General Strong, I think people should remember, I'll be posting these on my website, copies of these declassified documents, which you can get from the National Archives. It'll take a while. I mean, it'll really take, you got to do a FOIA request and name the documents. The American military attaché in Berlin worked with Charles Lindbergh. You can actually request and get copies of his Colonel Truman Smith adamantly worked and was a supporter of Charles Lindbergh. And there's memorandums and letters between him and Colonel Lindbergh saying that the Germans were absolutely correct and had the Jewish question down pat. But it was the international Jewish cabal that would ultimately bring the Germans down. And was, you know, there was a genuine concern also between some military intelligence officers, army intelligence officers, about Jewish immigration into the United States. And they made statements to the effect that Jewish immigration would endanger American democracy. And I'll, you know, I'll end on that because I'll be posting some of these and I'll be happy to copy them to you. But
oh,
it
that
is,
would be wonderful.
It's incredible. And I have come to the conclusion after reading, I came across some of these in a, and they were passages in a, and you know, remember I'd mentioned previously, Deanna, about the diamond in the cat box and some
yes.
of these agenda driven books. And some of these were made reference to, some of these individuals were made reference to in an anti, a Jewish book that was, you know, criticized in anti-Semitism in the U.S. military. So I began tracking some of these Army intelligence officers down, requesting their papers. As you know, I like original sources. And here they were as early as the 1920s, before the NSDAP came to power. Here was American Army officers making statements that were absolutely, were incredibly supportive and codifying the National Socialist position as to what was going to happen, you know, in the future. You know, the National Socialists, the evil Nazis, are often credited, you know, an attack for using the term master race. Okay, mm-hmm. Let me read you a quote real quick, and we'll get on into the topic, because I think this is, we need to correct the record. Here is a quote from Colonel William A. McCain, no relation to the John McCain family, in a memorandum to Colonel Gordon A. Johnson, and this is May 20th, 1920. Now, the the National Socialist Party was still the German Workers' Party in May of 1920. Now, this is two American intelligence officers writing to one another. This is what they say, Deanna. The trouble is the master race is on the decline and gradually ceasing to be a master in its own house. It is being swamped by mongrels and Jews, whelps and hounds, and subject to the Jewish agenda as outlined in the Protocols of Zion. These are American intelligence officers writing to one another on May the 20th, 1920. So it wasn't the, quote, evil Nazis that coined the term master race. This was a term being used in the United States Army and Army intelligence, who had basically understood the Jewish cabal question, you know, before the NSDAP even came to power. They were still a small regional. At this time in 1920, they were a party, they were a municipal party in Munich. They weren't even a regional party in Bavaria yet. And yet the United States Army intelligence, you know, community understood the Jewish question and were talking about it in the same terms as the NSDAP. And it, I mean, the treasure trove of information in the United States intelligence, you know, in the upper echelons of the United States Army intelligence, you know, from the 1920s through the 1940s, Deanna, is shocking. It codifies that the United States fought on the wrong side. And I have come to the conclusion, and we saw what happened, and I'll use an example, General Musharraf in Pakistan, when he, you know, when he took over and he, the Pakistan Army assumed control of Pakistan, when they had this very dangerous person who is now pretty close to taking over Pakistan again. Musharraf and the army took, you know, stepped in and took over because there just wasn't a constitutional, there was no constitutional fix. And anyway, now Musharraf eventually sold out his country, but at that time in 1999 or 98, the army stepped in and, you know, essentially did something. I'm of the conclusion that in the late 1930s, 1940s, when Roosevelt and the Jewish cabal was, you know, rushing the United States into war in Europe, I just wish the United States Army had done something very similar and stopped Roosevelt. I mean, this is just incredible that the Army, the United States Army intelligence, knew that, you know, that what the Jews were doing. They knew that the Jews were whispering in Roosevelt's ear, knew that the Germans were right, knew about the Jewish question as early as, 1920. And we were still, you know, look at the catastrophe.
Indeed.
It's incredible. I mean, and this, I've just given you a few excerpts. There are stacks and stacks and stacks of Army intelligence memorandums from 1920. Well into the war, 1942, and then they kind of mysteriously stop, where they're talking about the Jewish problem and the Jews driving U.S. policy that are contrary to American interests.
And, of course, remember that they established the ADL in 1913, and so it probably just took some time for them to really get some power. And also, the media was being taken over, finally being taken over in about 1915.
Some of these dispatches are memorandums between the military attachés in London and Berlin, and there's a lot of talk between military Army intelligence and military attachés in Berlin and London, in Weimar and in the National Socialist government, talking about how the Jewish media is manipulating the facts and how what is real in Germany is not what is being depicted in the media. And they say that's because of organizations like the ADL and because of the Jewish media, the Jews own in the media. And they are openly saying that in these memorandums to each other, saying that the Jews are ginning up anti-German sentiment. They're misrepresenting the situations in Germany. And they're actually talking about, you know, this Jewish boycott and this, you know, Jewish war against the Germans being directly responsible for things like Kristallnacht. I mean, the army, these dispatches. I mean, it's incredible. I know David Irving likes to talk about, you know, the German intercepts and the dispatches, and they are a treasure trove as well. But in my mind, Deanna, these Army and U.S. Army intelligence memorandums, you know, from 1920 on, are to me actually really revealing, because the U.S. Army intelligence, which, and again, the U.S. that's just one division of the U.S. Army. You'd have to think that the upper echelon of the U.S. Army, beyond the intelligence division, shared the same worldview as well.
Right. And it's very interesting, between the two world wars, or the culmination of the First World War, in the Second World War, they got rid of a lot of the military leaders that thought the same way as what you're describing. You know, they took out Smedley Butler and anybody else who wouldn't go along. So.
Oh, sure. Well, you know, and they assassinated General Patton immediately after,
right,
because he knew what was coming post-World War II. He knew that the real bulwark against the Soviet Union Bolshevism had been the Germans, and he thought that the time was just right then was to push them all the way back into the Urals, which is where, you know, Hitler wanted to push them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they assassinated him. There was just no doubt.
Sure.
We knew that. I think General Patton shared the same worldview as the Army intelligence, because he was on the rise immediately before World War II. And for some reason, they put people like Eisenhower and these other little, what I would call, effeminate men in uniforms over him.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some reason for that. And I think the reason why is this Jewish agenda that these Army intelligence officers were talking about in these memorandums, and they're all available. I mean, they're all available now, and I'm going to begin scanning them and posting them on. I'm going to add a completely separate page on my website talking about the U.S. Army and the Jewish question. They knew it. They knew it then. There was a lot of heroes in the U.S. Army that understood the Jewish question, and they were, you know, casually retired. Now, the U.S. Army was at that time, Deanna, was a very powerful institution.
Right. And of course, we know that MacArthur sold out.
Yes, he did.
Readily sold out. And of course, Uncle Rick in the chat room said, well, think of Forrestal and some of the other people that
For sure.
they murdered.
They did a double whammy on Forrestal. They made him into a crazy, and then they assassinated him.
Which was just in time to take out McCarthy. You know, take out Forrestal, then demonize McCarthy.
Well, sure, they do. You know, they made McCarthy into a drunk, and then, you know, marginalized him as well. And that's what they do. They really got their game plan down. But, you know, prior, you know, I go back, and people, you know, the time for, you know, the Army to have acted would have been probably 1938, 39, or 40, when Roosevelt was going for that third term, which was unprecedented. I really think the Army should have stepped in and preserved what was left of the United States.
Yeah,
the United States, it's almost too late by then. The United States ceased to exist in 1940, and Europe and Germany ceased to exist in 1945.
Okay, Rodney, we got to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear. Live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of balance concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems. Then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, superfam and super male plex, colon enhancer, our top selling liquid, cow mag vitamin D, MSM sulfur capsules, and elderberry power capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Our guest today is Rodney Martin. His website is wvfoundations.org. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. Okay.
Hey, we'll go on into the topic, Deanna. I just, you know, I thought that, like, because I received those, they're almost like mimeographs from the archives, and I was excited and I was pouring through them. I've been up late several nights just reading all of these old dispatches, and I just thought they were just absolutely, I just couldn't believe it, you know, that here inside our own government and, you know, Army intelligence, that they were, you would think you were reading NSDAP documents, and they were ours. I mean, you know, there was heroes in the U.S. Army intelligence, and, you know, they were drummed out. You know, by 1942, these guys had been retired, replaced, or been given desk jobs, you know, that, you know, they'd been marginalized, their careers were over. But National Socialists, book burnings in Germany. We just, you know, we did an anniversary show, Deanna, on May 7th. That was a pretty melancholy, you know, day. But there was also another anniversary on May 10th. And what's interesting and surprised me is in the German media, there wasn't a whole lot of talk about the May 7th anniversary this year. And usually there is, Deanna. They talk about year one, the beginning, they were liberated to blah, 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 blah. Now the Russian media had, you know, they had their, you know, victory day and all of their nonsense and such. But, May 10th, the German media lit up. They lit up as usual, as leftist and politically correct as they are, and they commemorated the great evil Nazi book burning. And as usual, they completely misrepresented it. They misrepresented it, and of course, they're not the only ones that do it. You know, Jews do it. so-called egghead academicians do it, agenda-driven historians do it, and they will have people believe, and they will teach children that this was an organized event. They would have you believe that Hitler was out there. In fact, there was an Indiana Jones movie that depicted Hitler standing out there watching them burn books. And, Hitler was probably sitting in the Chancellery building that night, having some chocolate cake, because he was notorious for having a sweet tooth or cream puffs or something. And that was probably the farthest thing from his mind, you know, is what, you know, students were doing, you know, out in the, out in Berlin and some of the other, you know, university cities. And I emphasize where there were universities, because the truth of the matter is the book burnings on May 10th, 1933 was organized by students. And we're going to talk about that, because we had talked about in earlier shows about the pushback, how absolutely fed up the German populace had become with Weimar, with the indoctrination, and how the Marxist and the Jews particularly, and, you know, Marxism is a Jewish creation, contrary to what some people will say. It was like the Jewish creation. They just started just absolutely turning Germany into a cesspool. They did to Germany what they are doing to the United States. And it's the same
people.
What
they have done to the United States?
Yeah, what they have done. I mean, they came over here, you know, the Jews that came out of Weimar came over to the United States. They settled on, you know, they settled in L.A. on the West Coast and New York on the East Coast, and they started doing the same thing. But getting to the book burning, were there book burnings? Absolutely, there was book burnings. I would burn books myself here. I can, I would love to take all of the smut and pornography and all of the decadent brain poison, and I'd put it off, pile it all up on a stack on a pallet and light it up. I'd do that in a minute for the same reasons that the German students did. And they just didn't go off on a, you know, on a tangent. They didn't all just run in and sack the libraries, as is depicted, you know, run in and terrorize a little old silver-haired librarian and say, give us their books. You know, they didn't do that. That actually was not as is depicted. This was a organized campaign, and it was not organized by the NSDAP or the German government. These are the German student associations, and there were German student associations throughout Germany. And what's interesting, if you look back as early, particularly since, and I've said in prior shows, Deanna, 1928 was a watershed year. 1928 began the NSDAP's really, meteor rise in German elections. They began their significant increase in polls. Well, in 1932, in student elections, and you talk about student elections on campuses, the NSDAP, what you would consider the NSDAP student league, won about 40% of the vote in student elections throughout Germany. And if you compare that, you know, that was just that was comparable with the NSDAP's national trend that year as well. So if you look among young people, the NSDAP was doing very, very, very well on college campuses. During Weimar at its height, Weimar, they did two things. They attacked the arts and culture, and they also infected the universities, and they began, peddling their poison on the universities. And what's interesting is the two major areas where people began to push back against Weimar were in the arts, and we talked about that on prior shows. It was some artisan leagues to begin to openly oppose the Weimar decadence, even before, there was opposition in Weimar really strong politically. It was in the arts and culture. Traditional German, artists began to openly oppose what was going on. We'll pick it up on the other end of the backside of that break.
All right. Be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Why do over 50% of North Americans suffer from some form of chronic ailment? Could it be due to a toxic overload? It's time to take back your life. Get the lead out as well as the cadmium, mercury, and calcium. Extendovite is a garlic cayenne supplement with five other herbs that acts like a natural Drano, cleaning out the stored toxins, restoring your energy and youthfulness that we've lost. If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, or fear, then Extendovite is for you. Available in either capsules or liquid, you too can see why Extendovite is the number one heart drop available. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org.
So anyway, back to this, Deanna, it's important to note that the NSDAP, the National Social Servant Workers Party, this was not their action. The German government, and, you know, let me pause there. There was the German government, there was a National Socialist Party, you know, they were two separate distinct structures. This was not, Germany 1933 to 1945 was not like the Soviet Union where the Communist Party and the state were one and the same. There was two distinctly separate structures. There was the government, there was the party. It was not like that. You know, contrary to what the Allied Control Council in Nuremberg, that farce at Nuremberg, tried to declare they were one and the same in a single criminal enterprise and, you know, making the rules up, you know, ex parte, you know, they ex post facto. But anyway, there was the German Student Association in April of 1933 decided they were going to have a protest action, and they were going to basically call this the Night of Cleansing. They were going to, and they issued what was called, and they invoked Martin Luther when they did this. You know, they were going to issue 12 theses, and they were going to basically reclaim their culture, and which was, you know, and Martin Luther was someone that was very, very well-respected during the National Socialist period. He was thought of as an early German nationalist. Well, anyway, their premise was to attack Jewish intellectualism and Jewish distortion of German culture. And so anyway, they linked this to Martin Luther's, you know, historic, you know, hammering the, you know, treatises on the wall of Wittenberg. They tied this to the anniversary of the Wittenberg, the 300th anniversary of the Wittenberg festival. I mean, they thought this out. Contrary to what is portrayed on the Hitler Channel and by agenda-driven historians and by Jews, this was not a bunch of mobs raiding, as I said, raiding the libraries and such, and just, you know, grabbing, you know, books at random. This was very well, you know, thought out, and they developed a series of what you would consider, you know, positions. They had the 12 theses against un-German spirit, and, you know, this was published on April 14th, 1933. And let's go through this, because I think it's important for to understand what, you know, what their position was. And you can actually pull this down from some. In fact, it's on the. In fact, you remember, Deanna, I had provided you a link of German sources, documents you can use a translator on.
Yes.
You can pull this down. It's called "The Theses Against the Un-German Spirit," and it says the German Students Association main office for press and propaganda. Now, the German Students Association, let me explain that, was a national association throughout the German Reich. And which there was chapters on each, you know, every German university, university in Frankfurt, in Berlin, Munich, and so there was chapters. So where there were these protest book burnings, you know, Goebbels appeared at the one in Berlin, which is the one that is famous, which is why Jews and agenda-driven historians say, oh, this was a Nazi party doing this, because Goebbels just showed up. You know, he showed up in Berlin. There was three major universities in Berlin at the time. He showed up where they actually had it at one of the major platzes. And so he showed up, gave a speech, as did the national head of the German Students Association. But this was their first position where they actually came up with their thesis against un-German spirit was developed by the students. And this was their thesis. So the German Students Association main office for press and propaganda is conducting a propaganda campaign named Against the Un-German Spirit between April 12th and May 10th. That means, now it's important, so this looks to be almost just under a month period of time. That means they would identify and collect the works, you know, the books that they would consider Jewish and anti-German, and then on May 10th they would actually have, you know, the burning. It's interesting to note, though, a lot of the Christian Zionists that trash National Socialism, they burn Korans all the time and think that that's just great, but they leave Talmuds alone that trashes their own church. Just an editorial comment there, Deanna. The Jewish mind.
Let me just pose a question. You're talking about the German Students Association, and these are young people. Do you place a lot of hope in the young people in our own country to provide information to recognize what is going on? And in particular, I'm thinking about people like CCF, who certain individuals have taken down and pretty much silenced temporarily. But do you see the young people in this country doing the same thing? And for instance, this 15-year-old girl that wrote a document for a school project and got an A+ or an A, it was about the whole Holocaust.
I am more optimistic about young people than a lot of people are. Now, by the way, I just posted ZCF's book on my website and posted that out on my list. I think Deanna, you're on my list, and you see I posted his book is on my site, and then I posted that out on Twitter. It's an outstanding book, and that book should receive more and more coverage. Let me give you what my position is on young people, and I get a lot of flack from some old timers over this, but I think I have a basis to prove them wrong. I think, Deanna, it is getting easier for younger people to speak out and write these papers, because the facts are on our side and on their side, and because of the outstanding work of a lot of revisionists that have come before them. I think it is getting a lot harder for the powers that be to punish and be overly punitive to these younger people for a whole lot of reasons. One, I think the loss of support, the eroding of support of Jews, in particular Israel, on the left is significant. It used to be that the Jews in Israel enjoyed a tremendous, just lockstep blind support on the left. That has not been, that they are losing that support, which is why they created the right-wing Christians, neocon Zionists. They had, you know, they had to hedge their bet. I think, Deanna, and I think this is an honest statement. 20 years ago, no student anywhere could write a paper like that girl did and survive. She'd probably been expelled from school. So I think the fact that the students are able to write these papers is major progress. I also think that the large number of shenanigans that are happening. We're seeing the fraud in the Jewish Claims Conference. We've seen a lot of these Jewish Holocaust books that have been exposed by mainstream publishers and mainstream media being exposed as frauds. I think that has gone a long ways as well. Now, I wish it would happen a lot quicker, to be honest with you. I also think that young people see that the force of law telling people they can't study and believe and question certain things has a tremendous negative impact on them. So just the point of having laws that tell people, you have to believe that or else, I think that has backfired on the younger generation as well. So I have more hope and optimism on young people, and I'll even go a step further. I actually think I have more hope and optimism on the young people in Europe. I think they will advance quicker than the young people in the United States for several reasons. And there was some polling that came out, I think I brought this out on your show, Deanna, in Germany of all places. Now, they don't dare, Deanna, do any polling in nations like Romania and Hungary and Bulgaria and some of those nations. But there was one poll that came out in Germany about 18 months ago. And the poll question was, and they were expecting a result that they didn't, they were expecting the result, oh yes, absolutely. The poll result was of German high school students, was Adolf Hitler a dictator? And 45% said no, they didn't think so. They were expecting like an 80%, yes, he was a dictator. And they were absolutely shocked that about 45% of the high school students in Germany would not identify him as a dictator. And when those students were asked why, because then there was a part two, why or why not, they said, well, because he achieved, you know, power through the electoral process. He was blessed. Essentially, he was blessed by the German electorate. And the result was they convened this, you know, these German academicians convened this conference about how they needed to go back and essentially double down on the brainwashing. And so I'm actually more optimistic about the youth in Europe when I see tremendous success of parties like Jobbik in Hungary, and the fact that you had these demands. The World Jewish Congress went to Budapest and tried to bully the Hungarians, and the Hungarians said not only no but hell no. They tried to bully the Golden Dawn and trying to have the Greek government ban the Golden Dawn, and the Greeks said not only no but hell no. And the fact that we're seeing, particularly in the eastern provinces of Germany where the old DDR existed, the young people there are exhibiting a propensity of nationalism there. I have more hopes for young people in Europe. I think that they will snap out of the slumber before the young people in the United States. And then, as far as young people in the United States, I think it's going to be regional. Deanna, I think it will be regional. Ultimately, I think what's going to happen is nationalism in the United States, much like it is in Europe, is going to be a philosophy and a worldview of grandparents and grandchildren. Now, I'm a little different because, my generation was, caught up into that quasi-liberal libertarianism, and that sounds
conflicting, but it's true. I was raised by grandparents, and I was blessed to know my great grandparents, and they were, they spoke German in the house, and they were unabashed supporters of National Socialism. And I have a little different worldview, but I know a lot of young people that I get phone calls from, I get Skype calls from, I get emails from asking me to help them on those junior college assignments dealing with World War II, some papers on the Holocaust, and I'm optimistic. And I know this has been a long answer to your simple question, but I'm more optimistic on the younger people. And, my theory is that time is on our side. I think that we'll just wait this 1950s generation out, the children of the World War II veterans. That's the best way to describe it. I think once they're gone, I think we're going to see some progress. I really do. I'll go a step further. I think that in probably 20 to 25 years, within that period of time, you're going to see the Austrians get rid of a lot of the post-World War II anti-free speech laws. I think Austria will be the first of the Germanic countries to ditch those laws.
Well, that would be very wonderful.
Well, there's a move. There's a move in Austria right now. There's seriously, they had one of the presidential candidates in the last presidential election openly call for it. The first time that a presidential candidate in Austria had called for the removal of those anti-free speech laws. And that's always a first step. But I think Austria will be the first one. The Germans they gave up on the recent attempt to ban the NPD. And I was actually hoping, Deanna, that they would ban the NPD, because I think that would have been the proverbial straw that breaks the camel's back, and there would have been such an outrage amongst the younger people, because you can't take away a person. You can't say that there is a democracy and they have a freedom to participate and then take away their vehicle to participate. I thought that banning the NPD would have been the proverbial straw to break the camel's back, but I think they got smart and bought themselves some more time. But Austria is the one to watch. Hungary is definitely the one to watch, and some of the other what I would call Eastern European countries. All we need is one European country to go fully nationalist, and I think Hungary is going to be the one to really watch, then Austria.
Well, that would be good. So you are a nationalist. You are not a white nationalist, correct?
I'm a nationalist. If you were to ask me what my worldview is, and I've told some friends that I met on your show, my worldview is more national socialist. I'm not what you would consider a white nationalist in the American mold. I've had some criticisms of white nationalism, and I've written about it. I think white nationalism has some severe problems with their worldview. I think that they I really do. I think I can leave it at that. White nationalism in the United States, the American version of what they call white nationalism, has some severe worldview problems. And let me go a step further with that. I think that, if you look at how the NSDAP and National Socialism had dealt with the racial issue, they dealt with the racial issue as being proud of who and what they were, as opposed to wanting to go and burn down everybody else. I think that's foolhardy to say that, one, you're superior to everybody else and wanting to burn everybody else down, as opposed to just being proud of who and what you are. That's the difference, I think, between National Socialism and a lot of the white, so-called white nationalism goes on. Jesse Owens enjoyed far greater liberty and freedom in 1936 Berlin than he did in the United States. And he said so when he got back to the United States. Unfortunately, the Jewish media didn't listen to him.
So you would not, if somehow you became president tomorrow, you would not send the blacks or the Hispanics to FEMA camps, correct?
Well, no, that's not feasible, first of all. But two, I think the FEMA camps already exist. It's called the United States. We're all in a FEMA camp, and the Jews are controlling it. The Jews have thrown us all into a FEMA camp, and the Jews have created this situation where they use blacks against whites and Hispanics against blacks, and that's what they try to do to keep the focus off of them. And that is, and there hasn't been enough attention put on, where the real problem is. The real problem, Deanna, is the Jewish question. And you have some so-called white nationalist groups out there running around that'll say, and one of them was just on John Friend's show just recently saying that don't talk about the Jewish question, and you know, and if you do, then you're just a goose-stepping Nazi. Only talk about blacks and Hispanics. Well, I think that's foolhardy. I think that's foolhardy at all. The root of the problem is the Jewish concept of multiculturalism, which, you know, is a failed policy. Multiculturalism has never worked in any nation that it's ever, you know, the Soviet Union was a multicultural conglomerated mess, and it failed. It absolutely failed. Yugoslavia is another one that failed. It just doesn't work.
Exactly.
Hispanics, and where I live in California, where Hispanics are, you know, whites are a minority, the 40% of the population. We'll pick this up and I'll clarify it even further. I think it'll be easy for video.
Okay, great. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. Stay tuned.
Flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offerer can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Golden Stag Safaris invites you to hunt in one of Argentina's most beautiful scenarios. Enjoy the quietness of the Pampas and the five-star accommodation lodge. Excellent food and wine included in your stay, all the while hunting big game in the Argentine Valley, an area known for having a wide range of game, excellent trophies, the biggest stags in South America, as well as many other species, all gold medal quality. One-on-one guided hunts, rental guns available with the highest quality scopes in every caliber, Land Rovers for transport, pickup at Buenos Aires Airport, and a private aircraft for charter is all available. Go to www.goldenstagsafaris.com to see photos and for more information. Again, www.goldenstagsafaris.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. TerraVim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from TerraVim? Simple. TerraVim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to TerraVim.com. That's TerraVim.com. TerraVim, the best supplements on earth.
Welcome back. This is Northwest Deanna. Our guest today is Rodney Martin. He is the director of Worldview Foundations. His website is wvfoundations.org. And you were talking about, multiculturalism. And now, if you were to become president, would you have a national religion? Would it be Christianity? Or would you just let people make their own decisions? And what about the Christian identity group?
I've been accused of being, some sort of person. And in fact, there's been one of the hosts on one of the other networks that said that I want to create a theocracy, which is quite the opposite. I'm very secular, even though I went to religious school. My grandparents had me go to, a Christian school, only because they wanted a quality education for me. But I would never establish a national religion for a whole lot of reasons. In fact, again, I want to stress my worldview is one of national socialism, and I'm not ashamed of that. If you look at Adolf Hitler's speech in January 30th, 1939, he articulated what I consider to be one of the best policies of balancing the church and the state, and I think it's even superior to what is outlined in the U.S. Constitution. And I'm not beyond criticizing the current U.S. Constitution. I think the founders, who we put up on a pedestal, left a lot unsaid and undone. But I think religion is a matter of a personal matter. I think I don't judge a person on what their faith is. I have friends who are pagans, get along very well with them. I have friends who are traditional Christians. I'm somewhat of an Orthodox Lutheran, Dan. I'll put that on the table so people understand. I'm not CI, but I have friends who do subscribe to the CI faith. I do not subscribe to the CI faith, but I do have friends that are very good friends. They're very God-fearing. I have, old-time friends that were, followers of Pastor Butler. And, they are very, very strong nationalists. Where my priorities are, Deanna, is we talk about nationalism, where people ask me, am I, quote, a hater or whatever, they misinterpret my statements when I say, one, I want my grandchildren to look like me. I'm proud of my bloodlines. Just like I will use the example of people that are referred to as Native Americans, American Indians. I have the utmost respect for them, one, because when they saw, what we would call, they were concerned with their race, their heritage, their culture during the wars, the Great Plains Wars, the resettlements and such, and they fought primarily for their race and their culture and their way of life, and they still continue to fight for those, for their race and their culture, to the point that they're even concerned about intermarrying of various tribes, or concerned with intermarrying of their members with other tribal members. They assiduously protect their identity, their tribal membership, and that's why there's been a lot of newspaper articles about tribes disenrolling members who they have determined are not even members of their own tribe, but have joined simply to partake in these casino revenue dollars. And I respect that. I respect the fact that peoples want to preserve who and what they are. You have Hispanic groups that are organized along the same way. I respect that. It should not be faulted for that.
Great. All righty. We are going to our top of the hour 60-second break. We will be right back with our guest today, Rodney Martin, after a word from our sponsors.